And here we go. Welcome back to Snakes, Rats, and Goats, talking about Survivor Season 35, Episode 5. I'm your co-host, Ryan Elder, and with me, as always, is...
Scott Chernoff.
Perfect, Scott.
I thought I'd do it like, you know, like a voicemail thing.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Where he was like, you have reached the mailbox of Scott Chernoff.
Exactly. I mean... Really, it's no different from every week. So,
a lot of our listeners actually came to us by mistake. They thought they were reaching a voicemail.
Well, those chuckles you hear are our guest this week, Scott.
Oh, thank God.
Let me introduce him. He's a writer and a director of more internet shorts than you could possibly count, and a personal friend of mine, Mike Manischewitz. Mike, thanks for joining
Mike.
Us.
Mike, of course.
I really feel like you've... Welcome, Mike. I really feel, Ryan, like you've really insulted the audience saying that we can only count up to a certain point.
27?
There must be a finite number. I mean,
27.
27.
Well, some of you
think
can't,
I could do it.
Some of them you can't count because they'll never see the light of day, right? But
Right. Yeah. They were just practicing. those were just practice runs. My daughter the other day, who's 5, told me that she could count up to 89.
Wow.
That was an interestingly random number. Like,
it kind of
makes
sense.
What's after that? Who knows?
Yeah. It kind of makes sense because maybe she just doesn't know the word 90 yet.
Yeah. I could only count up to 80, 90.
Yeah. No, she's a very smart girl, but so I asked her to count and form to demonstrate, and turns out she doesn't know a lot of them. Like, a lot of them she gets to the 9 and then she needs a little help to remember what the next level is. So
I see. Well, so she'll figure it out, Scott, don't worry.
I think she may be a lost cause. I think she may be too dumb to function in the world. Okay, speaking of people too dumb to function in the world, Survivor.
I thought you were going to segue into asking our guest how much Survivor he's seen.
No, I mean, I was deciding whether to insult the players of Survivor or you, Ryan. I would never insult our guest.
Flick of the wrist, baby, flick of the wrist.
Exactly. The flick of the wrist.
Baby.
So, well, Mike, how much Survivor have you seen in your lifetime?
I saw... Season 35, episodes 5? Is that right?
Both episodes 5, okay. However, so this was your first time ever seeing
it? Yeah, awesome. Definitely from bell to bell. I've probably, you know, I'm familiar with the general idea.
Right?
You've seen The Challenge, right? Don't you watch The Challenge on YouTube?
I watch a lot of reality TV. The closest to this, yeah, definitely would be The Challenge, which
you just watch the poor man's versions of Survivor.
It's
basically.
Like it's like this, but they have alcohol and and their clothes. Like, what's up with the clothes on the show? I missed that. Like, why do they're not wearing bathing suits or
why
like
are they clothes?
Yeah,
like,
why haven't they gotten their bathing suits yet, Scott?
Oh wait, is that a thing?
It is a thing. They usually get them by now.
Okay. I was wondering what the wardrobe was about, because you know, they're like...
I don't know. I honestly, like, it's changed so much over the years. They used to have bathing suits right from the beginning, but, I mean, do they always get... I feel like often there are people just walking around in their bras and underwear. Like, Philip Shepherd wore his underwear all season,
maybe not every
right?
season, yeah, maybe not
you
every
wore,
season.
Like, a purple pair of tidy... Purples or something.
Tiny purples. Yeah.
They were pretty they were pretty dumpy too.
They were
stretched out a little.
Lucy purplies. Yeah.
There's no tidy of any color that is gonna like look good on day 4, much less day 34. I don't
Lucy
know.
Lucy purplies, that's good.
I think that's she's actually a great writer. Lucy Purpley.
She's going to be our guest next week.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really, really bright up and comer. What is it? I mean, I think the idea, Mike, is that these are the clothes they were wearing when they got, stranded on an island. But
yeah, I mean, that's definitely the idea.
Do they have bathing suits at some point, Ryan? I mean, I know they
some seasons definitely they definitely do. Like a lot of seasons, I think. I don't know. I haven't done the research, but as soon as they do a water challenge, they get their bathing suits. Usually,
right.
My guess is though, production goes okay. What's the status of everyone's underwear? Is anyone like looking particularly bad?
Oh no, they definitely tell them to wear non. You know, there's no graphics on any of their t-shirts or anything like that. They're
well,
definitely
no, I know. I just mean like if by like day 10 someone's bra is broken and falling off, they go, okay, you can have your swimsuit now.
Oh, I bet they have fucking three of each of these wardrobe. They have a wardrobe department, right? Let me look it up.
Well, no, they don't, because how would they weather them? Because by the end, their outfits are just trash.
They don't have their wardrobe department consists of like they dictate what the players will be wearing at the beginning, mm-hmm. and they might have a few options. But I think once they're in the clothes, that's it. There's no backup pair.
If I remember correctly from hearing about this with Rourke preseason. She had to get like a whole bunch of outfits and send them to production, mm-hmm. and then production decided what one.
You have to send the outfits, not just pictures, but the outfits themselves.
Maybe you have to just send pictures. I don't know. I bet
you don't really get an idea. You gotta feel the fabric. You gotta feel that fabric.
Exactly. I don't know.
That's a lot of work. I mean, come on. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I'm gonna put that on the wardrobe stylist on Survivor season 28 on my resume now.
Season 28.
It's a good season. I mean,
it didn't work out
season,
for me.
A classic season and very stylish.
Yeah, very good bathing suits in the halfway point after the water challenge.
There used to be a point where we got our bit. I don't know. I don't know. Well, speaking of Rourke, Ryan, I'm so sorry.
I know. I'm sorry too. I'm sorry. You know, sorry for her most of all. But she just got really unlucky, right? Is there anything she could have done?
I don't know. I mean, she in her post-exit interviews. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to think there's anything she could have done. I don't know if you read them.
I read the text versions. I haven't listened to the Rob has a podcast one yet.
That's what I just read, some text interviews.
So Mike, just
only
so
because
you know,
Rob's podcast is too good for me to listen to. So I,
Mike, just so on. You know, I know Rourke from before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was rooting for her, obviously. So this is like a bummer episode for friends of Rourke.
And you didn't have any idea, right?
No, me either. I didn't. Ryan knew Rourke now.
Yeah.
Mike didn't know at all.
I had no idea that Ryan knew her. That's crazy.
Oddly, the one of us who saw this coming the most was me.
Yeah?
How did you
and
see
Ryan
it coming?
Ryan knew Rourke. I've been telling you from like week two that Rourke is not going to last.
Yeah, I knew based on her edit she wasn't going to
do well.
I mean,
I'm sure she's a lovely person. I know she's a member of Max and Corinne's community. She's very beloved and all of that. But on the show, we barely saw any of her.
I know.
And I have to say that I already figured she was not long for the game just because she was one of the people that we barely heard from. And then beyond that, when the episode started,
yep.
suddenly we were getting a lot of Rourke. I was like, oh, I think this is Rourke's last episode. Yeah. I could tell from the very beginning. And I've got to say, and I know she might be listening, and I'm sure she's a lovely person. I didn't think what we saw of her when we finally got to hear her, she was not portrayed as a likable character. I think they wanted us to feel like, well, good.
Yeah, you might be right. I think I'm biased, so it's hard for me to watch it and not go, oh man, she really put Chrissy in her place, you know, she totally owned Chrissy at Tribal. But maybe that's not how they wanted us to perceive it. Maybe they wanted us to think along with Chrissy that Rourke is like a smarty pants.
I think the impression, and I'd be interested, Mike, to know what you thought of her, the impression I got of her from this episode, and again, I'm sure this isn't the reality, was that she was a little like somebody who thought she was really the smartest person and really was due for a comeuppance.
What was your take, Mike? What did you think of?
Oh man, I wish I'm scrubbing through the episode right now. I have no idea.
Like at the end of the at the end of the episode, were you like, "Oh, that person deserved to go home," or "Oh, I would have liked"?
I didn't. Who's the little skinny weird dude that's
Ryan
plays? I'm just playing a social game.
Nice, Ryan. Go, Ryan. You got it.
I'm just here to. If I'm funny, I get coconuts cracked for me.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, going through the episode, I thought he was gonna be going home. But I don't know the work. Sorry. She just didn't stand out for me one way or the other.
Yeah. It. Oh man.
As far as this entering being the first episode, it was just like, yeah. It just. I don't know. Didn't obviously not surprise.
It was like. There's a bunch of people, and then one of them goes home, and that's about it. Who else stood out for you besides Ryan? Anyone?
Well, I was trying to figure out even the concept of it, which was the scoundrels and bad boys and jerks or whatever.
Scoundrels versus bad boys versus jerks.
Yeah.
I would like to know.
I'm guessing just by – it looks like there's – people representing those factions in each one of the tribes. Is that correct? Like,
well, yeah, they mixed them up. It started off as three tribes, each of hustlers, heroes, and healers. And then, was it last week, Scott? They mixed them all up.
It was just last week.
Yeah.
At Mornus in time, when Rourke was still in the game.
Yeah. And so now they're all mixed up. There's healers and hustlers and heroes on each team.
And it's just like, I'm a healer, I'm a doctor. And the hustler's like, I'm a used car salesman. Is that...
Basically,
but more or less, yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
Okay. It really. Well, because at first, I thought it was here's the hustler team.
What you thought they were starting pyramids?
Did you say they just do pyramid schemes? That's how they all know each other. I didn't. As far as work goes, yeah, I didn't. Nothing. I was catching up to the whole episode, and nothing like no one stood out as an individual, really.
Now Ryan,
except maybe PTSD guy. Skinny dude.
That was pretty heavy. Ryan, do you now hate Chrissy? Does this color your opinion of Chrissy now?
No, I think Chrissy played really well in this episode. You know, based entirely on the edit, like I thought she played really well. She saw that Rourke wasn't with her. She said, okay, I got to do something else. And she so easily turned JP against Rourke. It was insane.
That was amazing. Let me reenact it real quick. I think we should get rid of Rourke. No, I like Rourke. She wants to have a girls' alliance. Let's get her the fuck out of here immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy how quickly he turned. And then...
Oh, yeah, she got to go. She's got to go. Oh, yeah. Well, he's not known for his intellect.
Yeah, and I don't think... Like, I'm not totally... You know, it's actually Ryan who I blame more. I don't even know if this was the right move for Ryan.
It's a really interesting question... Because I didn't know why he handled things the way he did. Now, Rourke, in her interview, seems to think he did the right thing. She's saying that I don't blame him. He, you know, he did the right thing for his game. And, you know, he was smart to do it. And I would have done the same thing. Now, but what I didn't get, and we're jumping way ahead here, but, like, why didn't Ryan try to... sway Allie?
It's insane. Just talk to her at least and be like, look, this is what's going to happen.
And
you can either get with us or not, you know?
And the preview looks like that she's pissed off about that. I mean, why didn't... And he didn't even have to say, like, this is what's happening, get on board. Like, why couldn't he have been more subtle and just been like, yeah, I like Rourke, but I also think, you know, maybe we should get rid of JP, or maybe we should... get rid of, you know, I don't know, maybe Chrissy's valuable. Like, he didn't make any arguments to try to sway Allie in a way that he could keep both of his allies.
Yeah. I think trying to get rid of JP, trying to get rid of JP is a non-starter. Like, they literally would have lost by so much more in that immunity challenge without JP.
Right.
like they need him. They have to have him, or then none of them make the merge, or one of them.
Yeah, but the merge has got to be coming up so soon.
It's not though. They started with 18. We're down to 13. I guess they could merge. Yeah,
they've merged at 13.
You're right. They could.
Mike, sorry. Does this, any of this?
No, 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 no. It's fine.
Well, let's back up. Let's go back.
Oh, no, and... I have the episode on. I'm laughing scrolling at faces through. They're making.
Oh, okay.
Now, what did you think of the show? You've never seen it. You've seen things like it, but what'd you think?
I thought it was cool. I had questions about just all over the place.
Let's hear some
questions.
Well, what's That's what's the deal with the idols that you just find by the well? Why did he just start digging? Why did he just start? I didn't get that. He's like, it's probably around here.
I guess,
and it is.
He barely mentioned why, but it is like super funny out of context, not knowing why he would just start digging around there. Yeah, because someone on his old tribe found the idol near the well like that on their beach, and now he's on a new beach and sort of assumed that the rules would be the same over there.
That's kind of, the general idea I got was like, oh, you know, it's going to be in one of these like five areas that we shoot in.
And then the idol means that if you voted out,
you had to play it before they announce, right?
Right.
Yeah. Nice.
Exactly.
I like that touch.
You picked up on that.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes it much more of a gamble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be in the beginning that you'd play it after the votes were read, and they quickly realized that that wasn't very dramatic.
I like that this season really kind of only has one idol in play at a time. You know, like,
and it's just coincidence. I think
last season the name of the show should have been
"Find That Idol."
What? Scramble, scramble.
Find that idol. Yeah. some of the drops are a little loud.
They're loud. All right, I'll bring them.
Yeah. And so they're harder to understand. But you know my opinion on last season.
Yeah. Anyways,
I'm gonna refrain until maybe when we have our guest next week. A little teaser. Who's a really cool guest? Mike, of course, but somebody who knows more about Survivor. Yeah. Let's put it that way. I will maybe complain to that guest.
Yeah, we can't have Rourke on this season. She is under embargo or whatever, press embargo.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But maybe some other season.
I would love to have Rourke on.
Yeah, it'd be fun. All right. Well, do you have other questions?
If she can forgive me.
Yeah.
Let me see. Yeah. Where do these people sleep? Do they ever show them sleeping?
They do occasionally. Yeah. So sometimes they'll sleep by around the fire on the sand. Sometimes they sleep in their shelter that they build. It's like a bamboo. You probably saw one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what the accommodations are like and what like production's giving them.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, interestingly, where you sleep can really tell you who's with who. And Rourke mentioned in her exit interview that she noticed that Ryan was sleeping with Chrissy and JP and not with Allie. And she said, you know, in retrospect, that should have woken me up to the fact that maybe Ryan and Allie weren't as tight as Allie was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's super interesting, right? Like Boston Rob says, like that's like the number one way to find out who's working with
you. Yeah.
But I imagine it's hard to remember that while you're out there.
Boston Rob. You don't know who Boston Rob is? I mean, come on.
I heard Basta Raba, and I was like, Basta Raba?
Rasta Bob. Yeah,
he's this Jamaican rapper who comes on. Most of this was one of the only episodes without a rap.
I was thinking
usually Rasta Bob comes on and does a little rap at the start of the episode.
I was thinking it more like Ram Dass or something. Like Basta Ram says, the best way to know if you're together with somebody is if you're sleeping together. I'm like, oh, that's...
That's Ryan's guru.
Yeah,
he's like a guru, Basta Ram.
Well, Basta Ram did say that, I remember, and he was right. But this is a guy who played four times, so he figured it out along the way.
Right,
Rourke didn't have that luxury.
Well, yeah.
But that is interesting. I mean, apparently there's more that to this story because, yeah, Ryan was clearly not as close with Allie as she thought. And I don't know why. Yeah. It's very strange because I thought these two were a good pair.
Yeah,
and
you know,
I don't know why he alienated her.
I also feel like something that maybe went unspoken is that Ryan was feeling this pressure to get rid of as many healers as he could before the merge, since the healers
right, but that's another thing to discuss. That's another thing to tell Allie. Like, well, but another way to look at this is the healers have not lost a single player yet, and we're all going to be down in the numbers.
Allie wanted to work with Rourke because of that reason, because then she could like worm her way into the healers or whatever. And I think it would have actually worked because the healers aren't as tight, I don't think, as we're led to believe, maybe, you know. Joe.
Right. Well, what Rourke has said is that the women of the healers were tight.
Yeah.
So she could have gotten in. In fact, Rourke in one of her interviews said, you know, ironically, there probably would have been an all girls alliance.
Oh, interesting.
If that had continued, because her tightest ally was Desi.
Yeah.
And they would have gone with her and Allie and I guess Jessica. But yeah, I mean, somehow maybe she also mentioned that was her strategy. You know, somehow Ryan picked up on that. Somehow he knew that I don't know. It seems as though like Chrissy, although she was really tight with Ben, just seemed to make Ryan her number one. And maybe he felt that she was, you know, a loyal ally to him. I don't know.
Yeah, I could also see Ryan like being concerned that Allie wants to work with Rourke more than she wants to work with Ryan. And going
that was another thing Rourke said was that she and Allie bonded really hard, and that Ryan must have picked up on that.
Yeah. Well,
so maybe what Rourke could have done more was talk more with Ryan herself and bond with him instead of relying on Allie's bond with Ryan.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah,
I just solved Survivor.
There's so much time. There's so like she had 3 days at least, 6 days to talk to Ryan. And
it does always amaze me when people don't talk. How does that happen?
And Chris, like, and we saw that at the tribal. Chrissy and Rourke never spoke to each other about game, like, and they both were like, "Well, you never came to me. Well, you never came to me."
Well, I thought that was a valid point Chrissy had, because Rourke was like, "Oh, so you waited till today to talk to me?" And she was like, "Okay, but you never talked to me either."
Yeah,
I thought that was a valid point.
Yeah, I mean.
But do you have to talk game, or is it more important to bond?
Oh, I think you got to do a little. You got to do a lot of bonding and a little of game. If you just do bonding, then there's no way to know if that person's with you or not. They might just be.
But
friendly.
You start with the bonding, and then talk game later on, like the day of tribal council, maybe it's not as off-putting.
Yeah, especially when you have 3 to 6 days. Like, what else is there to do? I don't know.
Well, yeah, they go to craft service. They go to, they have long breaks where they get shuttled to town to movies and sporting events.
Yeah, to get manicures and pedicures.
Which one's Ryan?
That's the skinny.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So wait, how does this work? Why wasn't that guy voted out? He couldn't get that ball over that mountain. over the hump.
I felt so bad for him because there's no way I could have gotten that ball, even a straight line. I mean, like, what? That's crazy. That challenge started, and I was just like, no, I'm out.
As soon as that challenge started, that one girl had just a face full of sand.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, immediately, just completely face full of sand.
And after they finished their, like, part of the challenge with the sand, my wife kept going, "Why does nobody help them? Why is nobody cleaning off their faces?"
They had to stay shackled until they could go do the shooting the hoops part, I think.
I know. Well, my answer was, I, I, I don't think the production wants them to.
Right. Yeah.
To look more, like they aren't covered in sand.
Yeah, it's way more interesting.
So answer Mike's question. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. What's the strategy of like keeping these not? Is there other challenges that these guys like Ryan?
Well, I mean, yes, on that basic level, if you're just looking at it from that perspective, there are, you know, mental challenges that Ryan might excel at. And also he hasn't until this particular challenge been like a big problem on physical challenges. Okay. But I mean, to answer your question in general, like the way the game is set up, in the beginning half of the game, you have two or three different tribes. And they're competing, and anybody who tanks a challenge is a big candidate to get voted off because they, like you're surmising, they don't want to keep losing challenges and keep having to go to tribal council. However, about halfway through, the tribes merge into one, and then you're just competing for individual immunity. Mm-hmm. And at that point, someone like Ryan, you might want a round for any number of other reasons.
Because he's a layup, right? Is that a phrase?
Challenge-wise, yeah, you might say I can beat him more easily. But more taking the broader view of the game, who am I allied with? Who can I trust? Who is going to vote with me? Allie clearly thought that Ryan was voting with her. So anybody that you think is on your side, that might be more important. It might be more important to say, well, Ryan isn't helping us in these challenges, but I need him.
Yeah, I think trust is way more important than challengeability. Personally,
it is way more important. But in the early part of the game, you're sitting here saying there's no way they can lose JP.
I think that's what they thought. I personally would just be fine with losing JP if I were Ryan.
Right. Yeah, I would too. But then again, that was Bostaraz's original
Rasta Bob's.
Rasta Bob in Rasta Bob's first season back, you know, in ancient times, when the show was more based on let's vote out the weak. He was the first one, to my recollection, to not go with voting out the weak to help the tribe. He voted off some of the stronger people on the tribe, and I remember it was a big shocker when he led his faction to vote off Hunter in Marquesas. And on the one hand, he was preserving his team and he wanted to be the only strong guy. On the other hand, the tribe lost every challenge.
Yeah.
So there is a question of how early in the game you want to, you know, keep weak people around. So if it's in the first week or two, Mike, like that's when the weaker people are the most in danger. Before they've had a chance to solidify these bonds and for the tribe to get to know each other most, and what they're mostly going on is, oh, that guy really sucked at the challenge. We got to get rid of him. But a few more challenges, like Rourke in her interviews also said, if the healers had ever lost a challenge, Dr. Mike would have been the first to go.
Mm-hmm.
But then after time passed, he became endearing and lovable, and he wouldn't have been the first to go.
Shit.
So it's a crazy game. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, just on this episode, walking in and being the only one I've seen, it was just like, there's this Ryan guy. He lost the challenge for him. Cut to the next scene. He's like, I make these guys happy, so then I get a coconut. and then nobody talks about like sending him home, and I was like,
yeah.
And he kind of like dictates who gets to go home.
Well, but that's so funny.
There is a big part of it though that they are sitting around bored doing nothing so much of the time that if somebody there is entertaining, that might help them.
I honestly think it does mean a lot. You know, I think the big difference though is that the challenge that he cost them was just iced coffee, right?
Like, yeah.
If he had been responsible for immunity challenge, like Chrissy literally was responsible for them losing, I think we'd have a different story maybe. But even there were enough people that wanted to work with Ryan, that eagerly wanted to work with Ryan, that I think he would have been fine.
Okay. That's what I was asking about like what their sleeping accommodations were and such, because I was like, are they starving them? Like, why is the prize pastries?
Because they're starving.
They are, right? Basically.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
They get coconut.
In a way, though, Ryan did them a favor, because as he himself noted, that stuff's just going to run right through them.
Yeah. He did say that. I'm surprised they put that in. They don't usually, like, put someone disparaging the reward in like that.
It's all I was thinking, too. He was speaking for me. I was like, you're going to win coffee. I was like, oh, my God, they're going to be shitting all day.
Yeah. Maybe some of them
not going
like,
to be a good...
Maybe some of them really want to shit all day.
Because they're bored?
No, because they're constipated or something.
Oh, because they're backed up?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, look. This is the part of the show that rarely gets explored.
Yeah.
All right, well, now that we've
Mike,
been...
do you have other questions?
Yeah, do you have any other?
Let me see. No.
All right, let's get into the episode now that we've been talking for half an hour.
Okay, good.
Okay, so we
let's
come
start.
Back.
Start recording. Start recording now.
Yeah, start recording. So we come back from Tribal where Joe played his idol, and he's real proud of himself. And Ashley says, and we get confirmation of this from Devin later, that they're just going to be for sure 2-2 no matter what, right? And I think it's probably going to be 3-2, and Desi's going to flip. But if I were Desi at that point, I would. But, man, a four-person tribe where it's 2-2 is crazy town.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't think that's going to happen. Because we've never gotten Desi's perspective on
that's a fair
about what's
point.
Going on. So I don't know whether she's now grateful to Joe because he offered to play the idol for her. I don't know if she feels more bonded to him because they're the only two healers on that tribe. I don't know if she doesn't give a crap about him still and is eager to get rid of him. We don't know anything about her.
Yeah, all we get is like one narration confessional from her per episode, and that's
right. She'll just be like, the coffee was delicious. Yeah. You know? That's what. How's Desi doing? Well, she really loves the coffee. Yeah. And she was really surprised to see what happened with the other tribe.
We did get a lot of Jeff praising her at the challenges, though. She like seemed to really turn it on this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for Desi.
Yeah. And then we get...
I mean, I don't think that tribe will go to tribal before the merge. That's my guess.
Yeah, who is going to go to tribal next? Do you think... I mean, Rourke was saying in her exit interview that she kept trying to say to Cole and Jessica and Mike to throw the immunity challenge and just vote out Ben or Lauren because they had the majority on that tribe. And which is like, to me, it's like, oh, yeah, duh. They should have.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of it, but when I read it in her exit interview, I was like, yeah, they could give two and still be way up on numbers at the merge, you know?
Yeah, it's just a bit hard to throw a challenge, I would think.
It is. I think it's probably hard, and I think there's like a lot of, there might be in this case specifically, a lot of production going, you shouldn't throw this challenge. You want to try your best, because production really doesn't want the healers to go into the merge up 6-5. Like, that's just, it's going to be boring, right?
Are the healers and the scoundrels and the jocks working, like, is each faction working together? Or do they know each other prior to the, like, why would they have?
They're working within all the healers want to work with the healers because they lived together on the beach for 9 days together before they switched up. Yeah, they swapped them up. They like mixed all the tribes up.
But the other thing is, you don't know anymore. Once after a new tribe has been together, you know, after a swap for a few days, you might think, well, I wanted to stick with them, but I don't know if they're still with me. I haven't talked to them. Yeah. They seem pretty, when I see them at these challenges, they seem pretty bonded with their new tribe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you don't know. It's a big risk to, you know, to throw it just to help them on the other side, you know.
Totally. I bet there is that doubt that creeps in as the days go on after a swap. And the swaps
are... It worked for Ethan. Sorry.
The swaps are like one of the best things, like one of the best innovations to the game in terms of preventing the like pagonging, which is like, Mike, when one starting tribe just gains numbers control and then votes everyone else out.
Mm-hmm.
And that can lead to like six episodes in a row where it's not interesting, who goes home? There's no surprises then. So right. The swap really does a lot to like make sure that that doesn't happen.
Ironically, the first season with a swap, which was Africa, immediately one of the swap tribes threw a challenge to try to vote off one of the people from the opposing tribe. They figured that out right away.
Yeah. I wonder if the producers thought that might happen or not. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, hold on, you guys. You can keep talking, but I have to go for 1 second. I'll be right back.
All
right.
Here we are.
Mike, let's talk about this PTSD section, which there's never been like, oh man, it just came out of nowhere. I thought he got like hit by some shrapnel from the bamboo exploding, and he seemed like he was in pain or whatever. And then it was just for me, it was like really surprising. Oh, it's that kind of a moment.
What kind of a moment?
We're talking about the PTSD moment.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Not all wounds are physical.
I guess not, yeah. Do you think that this section, Scott, helps or hurts Ben's winner chances, editorially speaking?
I don't think it hurts. I think it can only help, except it may also signify that like he's on a journey of healing, then it doesn't matter if he wins.
I will say that I think it hurts, and I'll tell you why. Because he says, if I can get this message out about, you know, PTSD and soldiers and stuff, then I have won the game in a way.
Do you right. know what I mean?
So his journey has like sort of come to an end in a way.
Right. That could mean he gets voted out next week.
It could. Yeah, absolutely. But then again,
if he won, they would still put that in. So
yeah,
it's hard to know for sure.
No, if he won, they would definitely still put it in. You're absolutely right. I think that Ben goes far, though. We've just gotten so much of him when he hasn't even been going to tribal.
Yeah. He's a stand-up dude.
Yeah, he really seems
great.
What
did you think of that moment? Were you cynical or were you touched?
Me? Go ahead, Mike.
I don't know. I wasn't trying not to be cynical about things like that, I guess. I can't really speak to it.
It's easy to be cynical.
I'm not surprised they put a moment like that in. Didn't really think about the... Didn't know the characters well enough to know like its implication upon the game, the way that you guys could address it. But yeah, I could definitely see how showing that could be like, okay, that satisfies that guy's narrative.
Right. I wasn't cynical about it. Only have like, aside from like my grandpa who's passed, I only have one relative, one close relative that was in the military, and he was discharged before 9/11 the Iraq war, after 9/11, before the Iraq war. So like it was, you know, he never had to see combat. So like this was really interesting to me in the sense that I don't know anyone like this personally. But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty hard to be cynical about this moment for sure.
Well, let me try.
Okay, go for it.
No, that's a challenge accepted. I'm very sappy to begin with. So just when he was talking about his children and his family, because I have children, I was already like primed. You know, I was already tearing up because I cry very easily. I know I'm very macho, so this is a big shock, but I do. So then when he went into that, then it just deepened it. And I was like, oh, man,
this guy is my hero.
Yeah, it was very intense. And it was very real. It was very real. It didn't feel shoehorned in. I think what made it so powerful was we saw what happened with those pops.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw his reaction.
That was real production audio, too. I don't think that was like a sweetened sound effect.
I think that was real. And you saw the people's reactions to it. And so it was clearly real. And when he first reacted, I thought, well, did he get burned or something? Because it was such a big reaction.
That's what I said while you were...
The only, th- The only thing that wasn't real that was, but it's totally fine. It doesn't change or make it indicate that it was manipulated, but they used to pick up shots of the fire itself for to cut around.
Right.
Like if you look at the bamboo on.
Right. On sure. Fire, yeah.
It's just like long lens, you know, on stick or whatever. I just remember seeing that.
You got to fill in those blanks for sure.
Yeah. But
you know what I thought I will be cynical about, and I thought was kind of funny, was like the only moment we got of Lauren this entire episode is when she goes out to say like, how you doing? She's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, bye. Although she does, she did say, she did have a funny thing too. Like when Dr. Mike was like, saying like he was really empathizing with Ben and saying like, you know, when you've been in combat, it's really hard when loud noises and stuff like that happen. Lauren said, and it sounded so like apathetic. She was like, yeah, that is hard. Like it was just like so. It felt like she kind of was like she went out to check on him. Right. But it did still feel like she was like she was so chill about it. I don't know.
I just think she doesn't talk to people very much in her daily life, so
maybe not. Yeah, she's a fisherman, right? A fisherwoman. Yeah,
fisherwoman. I thought it was nice that she went to check on him, and it was nice that she gave him his space, but it was pretty funny. Yeah. You just want to be left alone? Yep. Okay.
You sure? All right. Yep.
So I've done my part.
I'm on camera. I'm on record as having checked in with you. Okay. Yeah. Good. Well,
Lauren's like, this worked out perfectly for me. Because I got to, you know, he knows that I, you know, wanted to comfort him and I didn't have to go through with the comforting and deal with that.
It's perfect. Yep. Yep.
I would have liked to see her try to comfort him because I don't know how comforting she is.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That would have been even more entertaining, maybe.
Just to see her be like, well, it must be hard.
Just walk out into the water, hand on the shoulder, because he's all floating in the water.
Yeah.
I know, that's the thing, is she could have also just, instead of keeping her distance and saying, you need any, you need me? She could have just walked up and, like, put her hand on his back and been
he's waiting in the water at that point. So
yeah. Like, I don't know if you want to do that, like, surprise him with the hand on his back.
Well, I didn't mean surprise. Boom! I didn't mean sneak up on the man.
Just slap him on the back real hard.
Yeah. He takes her out immediately. Military Cannonball. Training kicks in. She's dead.
Show's canceled.
Yeah. We made it 35 seasons without a death, but.
All right. So the next thing is the reward challenge, which we pretty much covered pretty well. One thing I do want to touch on is this confessional at the end of it where Allie says, like, yeah, Ryan did really terrible. But despite that, you know, he's the only person I really trust. I'm going to keep working with him. And I'm wondering, is that foreshadowing for next week? Even though we saw them, like, blowing up at each other, is Allie going to forgive Ryan and know that, hey, like, he's the only person I got now?
I think it's very possible she will forgive him.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's very possible that Allie will forgive Ryan. And maybe that was part of his calculation. But we didn't get to see much of his calculation.
I know, there just wasn't enough time. We saw so much from Chrissy's point of view.
Yeah. Man. It's so interesting because Chrissy, Allie, and Ryan have seemed to be the three leading candidates for a win.
I agree.
And they all ended up on this episode. I mean, on the same tribe. And now is it possible that Allie will join with Ryan and Chrissy?
I mean, Allie doesn't have a choice at this point, right? If she wants to stick around in that tribe, she has to.
Right. She got rid of Patrick.
She has to go, okay, we got to get out JP now. Because otherwise it's going to be her if they go to tribal again.
Right. Which, yeah. Yeah. I would be shocked if Ryan voted out Allie.
I would too. But it seemed like what he did in this episode was like pretty close to it.
There seemed like there might have been, that we weren't shown or explained, some bad blood between Allie and Chrissy, because
Ryan
at
said
some point Ryan said that those two won't work together or something.
Which is really interesting. I wonder now, like, what this seems bad for Allie. But I, so this episode just seems so bad for Allie. But you know who I can't get a read on based, like, was this episode good for Chrissy's edit or bad for Chrissy's edit? Because I hear so many different things, like, oh, Chrissy came off as so arrogant in this episode, right? But, like, she was victorious, and they chose to show us how she maneuvered to get the vote to go her way instead of anyone else.
Did you feel she came off as arrogant, Mike?
Chrissy was the blonde woman who convinced JP that that Dwork wanted to do a woman's alliance. And at the end,
none of these people stand out to me at all, isn't it?
That's fine.
That's sorry. Fine.
I didn't think she came off as arrogant.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm wondering. Like, I think some people think she came off as arrogant. It's really kind of a divisive episode.
But are you so deep into the world of Rourke? And
that's what I was about to say.
And Survivor, is, I think, all the fix-ins.
Scott, put that aside. Rourke. I'm looking at Reddit, and I'm seeing people say, okay, like, oh, Chrissy came off real bad. However, I do think that those people were Rourke fans.
That's okay. That's my question.
Yeah. Is leave me out of it. I don't know what to
do. I don't mean, no. I mean, I meant you're hearing that. I meant, are you hearing it from Rourke fans?
Yeah.
Or are you hearing it from the general public?
Yeah, exactly. No, I
will lump you in with whoever I want to lump you in with.
I think based on what we were shown, Chrissy played incredibly well this episode. And they're definitely setting her up as kind of a mastermind player. However, women players like that play like her usually don't win.
Mm-hmm.
Like look at Cass. Like, Cass played strategically and was open about playing strategically and being smart.
But Cass was also open about being mean to people.
That's true, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, good point.
Look at Kim Spradlin.
Like, I feel like Chrissy has to go to the end with Ryan, because if he does indeed have like a motherly connection with her, if she votes him out, he will not give her his vote to win.
Oh no, he definitely won't. Yeah, I think they're probably going to stick together.
Yeah,
whether or not they make it to the end, I don't know.
I feel like they're in the end together. I really do. And who the third person probably is? For me, it's like either it's Allie or it's Ben. I don't know.
What about Lauren?
I don't think it's Lauren.
I think Lauren's a dark horse to not to win, but to make it really far.
I do agree with that. Yeah. Like, so I think, yeah, there's those four people that I mentioned, or five people. Chrissy, Ryan, Allie, and Ben. No, four people. Chrissy, Ryan, Allie, and Ben. Those people are they're definitely making the top six. Is my guess.
All right, I'm putting you down for that.
All right.
I don't know. I was very confused by a lot of the gameplay this episode, to be honest. Like, I didn't know why Ryan made his choice. I was surprised with the way Chrissy went about it. Like, once it sort of started to make sense that she was creating the All Girls Alliance thing as a... She basically was baiting Rourke into saying she would do something, but it seemed a little convoluted to me, but it did work. So yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's dumb because, like, if someone presents a plan to you that, and you especially, you don't want to work with that person, you're going to say yes if you know what you're doing at all, right? So, like,
right.
I'll give Chrissy credit. Like, she probably knew Rourke would agree to it, and then she could go back and tell JP. And if Rourke ever called her out and said, I didn't say that, Chrissy can say, yeah, you absolutely did agree with me, you know? However, it was Chrissy who presented the idea. So
right.
If they get into that discussion, if someone, in terms of Big Brother, if someone calls a house meeting, you know, right, it's going to come out that Chrissy was the one who made the idea up.
But if Chrissy's really good, she could then say, yeah, I did make it up because I knew you were a rat and I was trying to smoke you out.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's what you'd have to do.
Yeah.
You think I would turn on these guys? Obviously, I didn't, because I didn't vote that way. You know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Let's see. What else? So
who's the guy that that was eating weird.
Oh yeah, let's talk about Cole eating.
Cole eating weird.
His edit has been so like started off so good, like heroic, and like he was like in this, you know, showmance with Jessica, and now like he's getting all this like all these people saying like, oh, Cole's kind of annoying. And I thought Lauren's confessional about it was really funny. But, you know, what do we think about Cole passing out in the next time on?
I mean, it's hard to know. Is this a medevac situation or are they just teasing us?
I think they're teasing us.
It's hard to know what to think, you know. Usually if somebody gets medevaced out, they tease the fact that somebody gets medevaced out, but they don't tell you who.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I think he's fine. And for that reason, that's a very good reason. I think he's fine, but man.
What?
I'm just thinking, like, what's the track record of people who are annoying eaters on Survivor? Can you ever win if you get shown to be an annoying eater?
I can't remember anybody else being shown as an annoying eater, though.
Fair enough, yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
this is the precedent. We're going to set a precedent.
What? Wait. Who? Oh, yeah. No, there was. Wasn't it Michaela who was like, JT didn't like the way Michaela ate food in Game Changers last season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that he just accused her of. Well, but that wasn't annoying, like gross, like sounds and stuff.
Yeah,
that was like, I think she's wasting food. That
man,
was a different.
What a really like Cole, you know, he's like super hot and, you know, fit and stuff and seems like a nice, pretty nice guy, like pretty charming.
So dreamy. So
but,
dreamy.
Like, what a bummer that he has like this. Makes a lot of noise while he eats. Problem.
Oh, I would. That's like one of reason number 10,004 why I could never go on that show. Like whatever annoying habit you have, if they want, they can. Yeah. Highlight it and make a 5-minute scene out of it.
Yeah. Oh man.
And then you come home and you're like known as, yeah, but aren't you the guy who drools?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it is.
Or like with Max, like, aren't you the guy who washed your foot in the cooking pot? Like,
oh yeah. I forgot he did that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And we were in his home.
Oh, poor Max.
Why did
he
we befriend Max? Max is doing just fine.
Yeah. In that same segment of the show, Mike finds the idol with Jessica, and we sort of get Jessica going like, okay, I don't know if I can work with Cole anymore, but I definitely can work with Mike now.
Especially now that he has an idol.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I'm the only one besides him who knows about it. And I do think, like, she's right. Mike will keep it a secret.
Oh, yeah. Now, I thought Mike, speaking of keeping a secret, could have in that moment, like, just found it and put it in his pocket and just kept digging and been like, oh, I haven't found it. Because she didn't seem to be paying very close attention. He had to get her attention to show her the idol.
I wonder. I mean, that is, like, so sneaky, right? Like, if she ever finds out.
Right. Well, see, now you know the way I think, but it probably is better, I guess, to be open about it and create that bond, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably good for your alliance.
I'm such a
huge
fan of telling one person that you have the idol. I'm a huge fan of that play.
I'm a huge fan of hiding it and never telling anybody.
Yeah.
And it's worked out well for some people.
Totally. I don't know. Like they're probably, you know, someone's done the research. There's probably data on how effective each one is, but
Tyson didn't tell anybody. Rasta Bob didn't tell anybody.
Yep.
They both won.
And Joe told someone and that person told everyone and it actually worked out in his favor that Desi knew about it.
Yeah. But that was like stumbling into the right thing. That was like everything went wrong to such a degree that it came full circle and ended up going right.
Yeah.
The other thing is if he tried to hide it, it might have been pretty obvious, like just from what the cameramen were doing, the coverage was. It's like,
that's true.
They're just like, if you Well, you look at it, like, right. as scrubbing through it, it's like, there's shots of, like, they definitely either went back and picked up shots of him digging. It's like, from looking up from the
sand. Oh, yeah, they do that for sure.
Yeah, and so it's like...
I've heard of them, like, making people go find idols again. So that
yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like. I mean, they have, like, a real nice clean shot of, like, where his hand is digging and finding it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, if they, even if they didn't assist them, I think I would pick up on, if I start digging in the sand and there's, like, the camera start really zooming in and getting focused, like,
right.
digging.
Yeah. This is probably, interesting. I think Mike,
warm.
I think Mike is our first director / DP guest that can really, like, dig into this.
Yeah, the coverage.
All the coverage and stuff. It's really interesting. Because you're going to notice it more than we are. Like,
actually, for our audience who aren't in showbiz, like, Mike, briefly, can you tell them what you mean by coverage?
Oh, I mean the shots that they're getting to cut the scene together. And you could... It's like when I watch reality TV, it's I think that's like... Which I watch a lot of. I think that's the determining factor if I like it or not is knowing how honest they're being. Because I could hear what you guys are saying. A lot of like... talking about what made the edit, what didn't make the edit. And you, obviously, you know, you're cutting 7 days into an hour and a half or 2 hour episode, whatever this is, a 45 minute episode. It's, you know, you're going to have to fudge some things, but you could always tell, or not always tell, but it's, you watch enough and
yeah, you know,
you can tell what is manufactured and what's portraying the truth in a condensed amount of time. And I definitely say the show did a good job of that. I didn't feel like I was really being led for anything. All the pickup shots, like the shot, like I said earlier, of the bamboo and the fireplace, that makes sense. It's just like something to cut yeah. away to
because you have it all captured too.
Yeah, and the same stuff digging here, it's like you could tell their conversations 100% genuine, but you just need shots of him digging, so because she was probably talking for 15 minutes and you need this thing to happen in 90 seconds.
So Mike, did you feel like the coverage was aiding telling the story in an honest way, or do you think it was
well now that I mean that's why I was that's also earlier questioning yeah. like how they knew where this idol was, because that was the thing that didn't ring when I didn't know that another tribe found it close
right
to the, like, I was just like, okay, there? This is like production. I mean, it was either the competitors knowing that it was in one of these few sections for something else I missed, or yeah. it was, you know, production going like, you might want to dig around here, you know, right. you never know what you'll find.
Right, you know.
can we fly in a new light and a little bounce? And get a fill and like...
Yeah, in the past, players, one particular player has been really successful just looking at the camera guy saying, I'm going to go look for an idol, walking around and looking at what the camera guy points their camera at. And then
yeah.
digging there, like that worked for Russell like really well. And I think he, you know, has said that's one of the reasons he was able to find idols without clues multiple times per season.
But so he just paid attention to what the camera people
yeah,
were.
Yeah, because the camera guy always shoots where the idol is if you're close, you know, so they can
right.
have that exactly. little they can have that little cutaway shot of like with the like vibra slap sound where you're like, oh, you were so close, but it was right there all along, but they never found it.
What is a vibra slap?
It's that instrument. I wish I had one like here, but it's that instrument that you hear sometimes when something is like kind of going wrong. It's like a percussion instrument. It sounds like. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put one. No, I won't put one in. I'm not doing that.
I just wish you described a didgeridoo or something.
Well, you know, speaking of like the sound, like, you know, that's one of the things that I cue in on is like the audio editing, especially of their confessionals. There was some really, really bitey ones last night where it was like they'd cut in like the like two words like my tribe or in this game or whatever to like just make the sentence more clear. And it was so obviously from another sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's never where they change. Yeah, they don't change the meaning. They just make it more clear with little bits like that.
Well, going back to, I just was scrubbing it through the idol thing again. It's like when he discovers it, it goes from a shot, a tight shot of him actually uncovering it. And then the camera whips up to his reaction and then over to her. So it seems like they actually captured it live.
Nice. In that case, they might. I mean, they had a good idea because he was in the right place, so they were ready for it. But
they're really good actors.
I think I'm going to start. We should start doing our
podcast in the style of those confessionals that you're talking about, Ryan. So sometimes I might say something like, I don't know, I thought the episode last night was really interesting because sometimes you look at a player like Dr. Mike and you think like, hey, I really love that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He sure could carry sacks of rice.
As long as you don't require me to make those edits later, I'm done.
No, they were not edits. He just wants you to read it, you know, just have that diction.
Yeah, don't worry. Nothing will be manipulated.
Yeah. Good. That's if you're ever on Survivor, that's how you should just do your interviews.
Okay, what happened next, Ryan?
So let's talk a little bit about the immunity challenge. You know, they got this is one we've seen before, at least maybe not exactly like this, but each part of it was something we've seen before. Shoving the bags of rice through a tiny hole, you know, and then that.
Hi-yo.
And then
maneuver those balls through a maze of holes.
Sounds like a Saturday night.
Story of my life. Am I right, boys?
It doesn't even make sense.
Oh, it makes sense in the bedroom.
Oh, dude, it's Friday night. Gonna put my balls through some holes.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, that's a thing we always say.
That's how I wooed my wife. I like to put my balls in your holes.
A series.
Maneuver those balls through a maze of holes.
Amazable.
Could that? It's like you're at the club. Oh, and
that sounds like a really harrowing sexual experience. I don't know, man. I got into bed with her and it was just like a maze of holes. I didn't know what to do, man. I just started maneuvering my balls.
It worked out in the end.
Yeah. All right, what happens?
So Chrissy refuses to like switch out, right? So Chrissy goes, okay, I can't do this. Someone else do it while I take my shoes off, right? Meanwhile, while she's taking her shoes off, Allie successfully sinks a ball into a hole. She maneuvers a ball through a maze of holes. And then Chrissy's like, okay, my turn again. And then she can't do it and will not let go. Like in her head, she should be going, Allie just successfully did this.
Well, it seemed like they had to switch off. Like it didn't seem like the same person could do two in a row. So Allie couldn't come in and write back in, but she should have handed it off.
Well, JP just got done balancing. He carried the rice, all three bags of rice across for them. He was the only person who could balance on that beam. Earlier, so like, why isn't he doing it?
And speaking of the edit, why is what Chrissy did was not presented in the same way as when Patrick did it 2 weeks ago, and our guest Steve Scrovan called Patrick, and I quote, unconscionable. I still remember that was like the strongest. Whoa, that's a phone that never rings. That was like the strongest condemnation. Sorry, guys,
my phone, Scott.
It's a landline. Should I put on speakerphone?
Of course. I hope it's not serious.
How do I get on speaker? Hello. Oh, it's a dial tone.
Darn it.
Almost only. What the? Wait, what?
Hello?
Hello?
Would you like to be on Survivor?
The mystery of the phone.
You know what? We have to just drop this landline. We never use it.
Why do you have a landline? This is like incredible.
I think because like
I'm
incredible news
for you, Scott.
Well, I'm old. At a certain point, like it just seemed weird to not have one. Like we have kids. We're like, you know, what if the cell phones don't work? It's an emergency. And with the cable company, they're like, you know, for $4 more, you get a landline. So we have one. But then every time the phone rings, we just look at each other like, well, neither of us ever wants to answer that phone. We never give out that number. I don't even know the number by heart. Like, I have to look it up on my phone. Here's what it's mostly good for.
I definitely know how to make $4 a month richer, Scott.
here's what we mostly use it for. Here's what we mostly use it for.
Ordering pizza.
She's not answering her texts. She's not picking up her phone. Mm. All right, I'll call the landline and hope the machine's on really loud. Honey, pick up the phone. Did you fall asleep?
So you also have an old voice message
we have machine? cassette tapes
answering machine. Jesus Christ,
we have a thing that we bought at Costco. It doesn't have cassettes, it's digital, but it is basically an answering machine. The phone rests on this thing and it records your messages. I don't know. I'll get on the list to deal with. Okay, give me a break. It's on my to-do list. Deal with landline.
One of those too.
It should say something that we've done this podcast so many times, and this is only the second time it's ever rung.
Second time it didn't ring during the podcast before.
What about when I picked up the customer service?
That was
call?
On your cell phone, right?
I don't
thought
think
you were
so.
At work for that.
No, yeah. I don't do this shit at work.
Are you kidding? You did.
I got a reputation to maintain. Oh, right. That one job. Yeah. They didn't know about that.
You should probably give the number out on the podcast.
They do now, Scott.
It's fine now. I had a job never going back in 2015. It was a delightful job where we were doing a web newscast parody called The Desk and for UpRocks. But we started doing it only. We started shooting it only 3 days a week, even though it would air 5 days a week. So we just shoot two some days. So on Thursdays, I would come in at 10, do our podcast, and then leave.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. I shouldn't be so proud of that. I'm basically admitting to ripping them off. But
I
look,
love that drop so much, by the way. I want to use it literally all the time. It sounds so sarcastic.
Oh, that's so funny.
Who is that?
It's Chrissy, I think. I thought it was Rourke when I pulled it, but it's Chrissy. It's after Chrissy goes, Ryan's like, I did really bad in the challenge, and Chrissy's like, I sat out the challenge. I did worse than you, and he's like, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
And she was like, and she was like, oh, that's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
You're such a funny dude. I'll crack your coconuts for you.
There were a couple times when he made me laugh in the cracking coconuts. There was a couple things he said right before he said that he's going to keep them laughing. He said a couple funny things and I laughed.
He's a funny guy. He's absolutely a funny guy. But to think that, like, I don't know, like that whole scene where he's like, I'm going to use my social game to get ahead and that's my thing. That was like, the music under that was heroic. Like, it was actually more heroic than Ben talking about his PTSD.
Well, look, as someone who uses humor, I say they're absolutely right.
Oh, you know what? I'm getting it mixed up.
We are the true heroes.
No, you know what? It wasn't then. It was actually when he finished the challenge, when he finally got over the sand. That's when it was heroic, not when he was doing the...
Was it heroic in a genuinely heroic way, or was it heroic in a siree, you finally finished this... You know, good for you.
Good point. It could be. You know, speaking of that, did you think that we would have to, like, they'd stop the challenge and have Ryan, like, roll around on the ground while everyone cheered him on, just like they did with Siri?
No, that didn't cross my mind. I just kept going, oh, this poor guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. How are you supposed to make the ball not roll away? I know everybody else managed to do it, but I don't know how you do that.
I don't know.
Oh, I got it. I'm guessing you couldn't grab it with your knees or something, right? They must have said you need to bump it with your head.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
No hands, really. Yeah.
But even if you could grab it with your knees, would that even be good?
Oh, yeah, man. I'd put it between the knees and just waddle forward one knee at a time.
Maybe, yeah.
The waddle forward.
Yeah,
time.
Man. You can imagine.
Yeah, if it's not against the rules.
I'm sure you can. Or else you'd just pick it up with your elbows or something.
We get so much talk about Ryan's social game. It's almost very meta at this point. It's like the social game. At this point, the social game is just talking about your social game.
For real. And I think I'm really funny, and I have a good social game. So
I might be stealing this from Rob C. and Steven, but I think they were saying about that. Like, is it a social game? Like, does that mean if you talk about your social game, does that mean that you're just not being genuine with people?
Right.
And it's all a game to you?
I think that's semantics.
I don't think so.
That's semantics. Like, he's saying he's playing a game and he's using his social skills to play the game.
Right.
So he's just.
That's what I think.
It's just okay, shorthand. So it's official. You are saying screw you, Rob C. Okay.
Well, no, just Steven.
Okay, just Steven. Fair enough.
I mean, Rob's been a guest on our show. Steven hasn't, so.
Right. So Rob is always right.
Yep.
Look at her wrist, baby. Look at her wrist.
All right. What else do we have to talk about? I don't think we have much else. We talked about.
Is that the host? The flick of the wrist? Who is that?
That's Joe, the sort of the East Coast guy. I don't know how else to describe that, where you would resonate with you from this episode, because he wasn't in the episode much.
Yeah. Thank God.
He was in the beginning.
He was carrying the rice?
Probably.
He was the guy on his stomach with sand in his face.
Yeah.
Look at her wrist, baby. Look at her wrist.
Anyways, Scott, I feel like we might have covered everything.
Hey, I'm good with that, man. I got shit to do.
Let's move on to our segments.
Hey, I'm going out of town, Ryan, for the first time without my kids. This is big news.
That is exciting. Make sure to forward your landline calls to your cell phone.
Okay, I'm going to have to do that. I miss a lot of calls.
All right, let's get into our segments. Here we go.
Hold up.
All right, this is Hold Up, Bro. This is the moment in the episode where you said, Hold Up, Bro, and you had to rewind your DVR and watch it again.
Oh, shit.
For me, it was, I wanted to hear the amazing job the editors did with the sound effects of Cole eating. Because you know that those microphones did not get close enough to pick up all his sounds.
Right. You think they just recreated that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I wouldn't be surprised if Probst was like, just give me a mic. I'll get on there and I'll schlorp around with my mic.
I want it to be so close you could taste it.
Yeah. It was terrible, good though. Mike. Like, it was really gross, you know? They did a nice job.
I like the brown coffee, the muddy coffee. You know, that was especially the one that didn't have the pastries with it, being the second place prize. It just looks so gross.
Like, I know. It was just like a jug of
lukewarm milk and coffee.
Sink water.
And they're so excited. It's like whenever they have food on there, there's flies buzzing around them. And
they're always, the pizza is always like a congealed mess.
You know, it's like a microwaved frozen pizza that's been sitting out, and it's now like lukewarm, and it's covered with flies. And
this coffee is like Sanka. There's like grounds in the bottom of the growler.
Growler.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know. Okay, would you prefer carafe?
I prefer growler.
Okay, good.
I like that term. I'm just
look
not
at her wrist, baby. Look at her wrist.
Look at the wrist. I'm just not used to it. It's delightful.
Oh, I just realized, you know, a flick of the wrist is really what you need when you're
maneuver those balls through a maze of holes.
It's true. It really helps. Really helps to flick your wrist in that instance. It's good for her pleasure.
Scott,
really.
I think we're going to give you access to one drop that you can play at any time you want. It's going to be this one.
Nice, Ryan! Go, Ryan! You got it!
Okay. If you can really do that, I will play that. But it won't be at times you want me to play it.
I know. That'd be the point.
Yeah. I'm surprised the Virgin drop hasn't come back from last week.
Oh, yeah. I'll bring that back at some point.
That's a good one. You got to keep that one.
Yeah.
At least through the season. I'm trying to think of what I needed to see again this week.
There wasn't a lot, to be honest. I had to rack my brain.
Yeah. I'm going to keep racking.
All right. Well, let's just move on to
Mike.
Segment.
Do you have? Okay.
Oh, I mean, the thing I literally was watching
the coffee.
It was the establishing shot of the game. She goes, "Oh, that's pretty," and I said, "Oh, what?" And then I missed it. So I went, "Oh yeah, that's kind of cool looking. Primary colors on the beach,
colored lanes.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Multicolored lanes.
You got the drone out and everything.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder. Come on. Probably do use drones now. That's how they get so many good aerial shots.
It's a stick.
Actually,
they have a helicopter.
I
mean,
Oh yeah.
Well, that's a lot cheaper to do the drone now, and they don't have to they wouldn't have to recreate it with extras.
It's at least a pilot cheaper.
Yeah, they can have the drone up there the whole time during the challenge. That's probably
right, because what they used to do, Ryan, was that and they might still, is that they would rerun the challenge with extras in the same outfits, and they would try to recreate certain moments to get overhead shots.
Right.
So maybe.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they definitely don't now. You can see now for sure.
You think it's definitely drones now?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
why wouldn't it be? They'd be fools to not use drones.
So much cheaper.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they definitely use drones for sure.
We figured it out. We figured it out.
All right. Well, that's my hold up, bro.
That's good.
Whoa. Drones? Wow. Okay.
Drones. Okay. Here we go. Next segment.
What's the time? It's time to get ill. What's the time? It's time to get
ill regrets.
All right. This is ill regrets. Who's going to have ill regrets about a choice they made, something they said or did on the show this week? And you can't choose Rourke.
I mean, it's too soon to know whether Ryan's going to regret. It's a very controversial move.
I'm picking Ryan. He's going to have to deal with Allie being upset with him when he could have easily just like massaged her into the decision with him, you know?
Right.
He needed to maneuver those balls better.
Yeah. He's never been in a relationship.
That's
Ryan.
True. That's true.
A maze of holes is.
If his social game is so good, he could have told her what was up and been like, look, this is just how it's going to be.
If his social game is so good, why has he never been in a relationship before?
Good point. That is a very good point. How are
we supposed
to believe this?
That's what
nerd,
I'm here for.
This nerd has a good social game.
Yeah.
Exactly. What a nerd.
What a piece of shit.
What a maroon.
says three nerds.
What?
Now I'm a cool guy.
There's another nerd on this call with you two? What?
Oh, that's so funny.
Anyways. Yeah, I'm picking Ryan.
Okay.
I'm picking the coffee drinkers.
Yeah.
Because they're going to poo. I just made that up.
Yeah, you're right.
Well,
that's so funny.
How about I'm going to flip it and say Allie will have ill regrets for trusting Ryan.
Yeah. I like it. I think they both could easily have ill regrets. I think we saw it on the next time on.
Mm-hmm. 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 I think Cole's going to have ill regrets for letting the camera catch him eating.
You should always eat in secret on TV. Yeah. It has worked out for people in the past to eat in secret.
It has. Coconut bandits.
The coconut bandit, yeah.
Great, that's a wrap for the day. Let's get some room tone and some chewing noises. We're good. No. You're going to look great in this part. Just every... Ooh, can you eat that again real quick?
We'll give you another piece of coconut if you'll eat it.
Eat that for me one more time. Once is never enough.
Now we're going to have to pay for that song, Scott.
Oh, yeah. They're
we
listening.
We have blanket license on those other three songs that we play every episode.
All right. One more segment, Ryan.
Oh, wait.
Here we go.
Let's bring it home.
Tramp stamp. Sorry.
Oh, that's a good hold up, bro. All right. We only like it if it's loud.
We only like it if it's loud. I can get loud too. What the? Hello
to me. All right. This is getting loud. Who got loud this week? Who stood out in a good way?
Wait, who has a tramp stamp?
The guy, he's on the red team.
Probably
Joe. He's on the red team. Let me see.
Anytime a guy has a quote-unquote tramp stamp, it's 10 times more hilarious.
Oh yeah, it looks like a sun or something. like a sublime sun.
Oh boy.
Oh, it's just the sublime logo.
Oh boy, that's an ill regret right there. All right, well, who stood out? Who got loud? Who stood out in a good way?
The host.
Jeff Probst.
I was impressed.
Pretty loud.
That's not a joke. That's
I gotta say, man, he was running around calling the game where they're shooting baskets. Like, he was really running around a lot.
I'm not kidding. I thought he did a great job.
Most of
he does a play by play, and like I would expect that stuff to sound like it was totally a pickup, but it sounds like he's really doing it.
I agree.
Yeah, I think he really does that.
And I think that's pretty impressive.
I'd say one of the most consistent responses we get from our guests who have not seen the show is how impressed they are with Jeff.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Definitely, of like all these types of shows I've seen, it's...
Well, you know, he won the Emmy for Best Reality Show Host like 5 years in a row, and then he took himself out of the nominating process. Basically because the category was created to give him an Emmy, I think.
Like it's him and Tim Gunn.
He's just that good. Yeah, pretty much. And RuPaul. They're the best. They're honestly like, I don't watch a ton of reality, but the ones I do, those guys are just like, they stand head and shoulders.
He took himself, he doesn't submit himself for nominations anymore?
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who hosts the challenge is TJ Lang. Was he
Katie
like
Lang?
He's like a motocross guy, but he's...
Oh, yeah, man.
But
he's all the motocross guys.
But he got into a pretty serious accident, so he's like a little slow now, which really adds to the show.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, and his catchphrase is, you killed it. He's just like, and he still dresses like he's 20, but he's like probably getting not.
Yeah, you know what's
40.
Funny? I would say Jeff has no less than 10 catchphrases. And you probably heard them all this episode, but you don't know their catchphrases yet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he always says, come on in, guys. And want to know what you're playing for. And
I think for it to be considered a catchphrase, it has to catch on and other people have to start using it.
Fair enough. Well, he has a phrase.
His phrases.
Do you remember the one time he went off script on the want to know what you're playing for, Scott?
Vaguely.
Want to know what it is?
Oh, yeah. It didn't go well.
He was trying to make that...
Want to know what it is?
He was trying to make that catch on, and it did not.
Yeah, well, now we know why he just sticks to his
phrases.
Sounds
like someone's assembling a jumbo jet in the background. Yes, that's it. That sound. Anyways, who got loud, guys? We're way off topic.
Now. Well, Mike said Jeff.
Yeah,
that's a valid answer.
Valid answer, yeah. I'm going to say Chrissy.
I'm going to say the bamboo.
I don't think, you know, maybe Rourke wouldn't, maybe I'm going to tell Rourke not to listen to this because I said Chrissy got loud. But I think, you know, based on what we were shown, Chrissy made the best of a really bad situation. Like, she arguably should have gone home, and she figured out a way to, like, flip JP like it was nothing.
Right. Yeah. Now she's good. To mix it up, I'm gonna say Dr. Mike, because never underestimate Dr. Mike.
Never underestimate Dr. Mike. Man, it would be sweet if Dr. Mike would win the season. He's not. He's not going to.
No,
but it would be sweet.
No. Yeah, it'd be funny. It'd be fun. It'd be a hoot.
Yeah, kind of a Bob-esque win.
Yeah,
but he's
never underestimate him.
I'm talking about Rasta Bob, obviously.
Rasta Bob.
Dr. Bob.
I thought you were talking about Bob the. Malignant force of evil on Twin Peaks.
Yep.
No.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Bob, then make it Bob Crowley. That's fine.
Yeah, we'll settle on it. How about we compromise on Bob? Mr. Crowley. is the love child of Rasta Bob and Bob from Twin Peaks, right?
Yeah, and Aleister Crowley.
Perfect.
Wow.
What got loud is the butt of the people drinking the coffee.
Hey-o.
So funny.
It's
cold mouth when he's eating.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh, guys.
Well, I think
we may
have said it all at this point.
We've said it all. Mm-hmm. Mike, thank you. So, well, now, Mike, you've never seen the show.
Nope.
You've seen this one episode. Would you watch again? Are you curious to see what happens?
If I watched it again, it would be definitely from the beginning of the season.
You might watch another season from the beginning. But for this season, based on what you saw and all these people who didn't stand out to you, who would you... Do you have a guess as to who might actually win?
They just didn't stand out because I'm so face blind and name blind. And I'm just like... Right. And they're all just shirtless and I'm just throwing balls into hoops. And I'm like...
Yeah,
some are scoundrels, and
honestly, we really only we really only saw like five people this episode. Like, we just got nothing from most people.
So you don't have any idea of who might win.
Let me see. Cut out this pause if you want.
No.
Oh, no. This is staying in.
Oh,
I cut out all sorts of other stuff.
All right, I'm going with the Ryan guy.
He's a good choice, actually. I think he's for sure top three for me.
He was my prediction.
I'm just not versed well enough to know like what it takes to get to the end, because like I said, the show that I watch most closely, this is The Challenge, and the biggest difference is.
Is that the host has a challenge?
Is that when you kind of vote you kind of have the same kind of thing where you're voting somebody on, like, who you want to go into this elimination, but the person going to elimination still has a chance of going against the other person who, like, lost the immunity challenge. So therefore, like, you
got it.
The physicality of the players really matter. So there's players definitely who get by manipulating and making it so no one ever votes them in. But it's not as valuable as an asset as it seems on this show. So I might as well go the guy who's playing that game and see if it works.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's Scott's. We picked winners after the first episode, and Scott picked Ryan, and I picked Allie. And I think we're both still very much in the running, Scott, which just goes to show you how easy it is to like narrow it down to like five people after episode one.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, man. It is.
It's crazy.
Is there anybody still on the show that you're surprised is still there that you thought was going to be, you guys both thought was going to be gone a long time ago?
I'm kind of surprised that both Joe and Dr. Mike are there. I thought for sure we'd lose one of them early.
I kind of thought Joe might be gone, but I don't know. Nah, there's nobody that's shocking to me. Yeah. Everybody who's gotten voted off so far has not been surprising to me.
Oh, Alan was kind of surprising. Alan was kind of a surprising vote off.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he was such a big character.
I take it back. Yeah. All right, now have we said it all?
I think we've said it all, Scott. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Can we writer, find you director, Twitter? Heir to a wine fortune.
That's me.
Yeah, where can we find you on social media?
Oh, you can find me on IMDb.
That is not social media.
Well, you know, put a little comment there in the IMDb. I'll get back to you.
Oh, okay.
Manischewitz. It's the common spelling.
Sure.
Well, what's your Twitter? Do you have a Twitter?
Manischewitz@gmail.com.
All right.
You're going to get so much mail.
It is Manischewitz, and I guess you could
all right.
Tweet at me, man. Just tweet at me, fool.
And,
just tweet at me.
That's spelled Manischewitsch.
That's right.
I got it right.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Great.
That
so
was
people
very impressive,
tweet
Ryan.
At us, let us know what you thought of the episode, rate and review us on iTunes. We'll take
any
number of stars.
Yeah, have we gotten any reviews lately? I mean,
no,
come
all
on.
Our reviews are from last season. We need more stars.
We need a lot more stars, people.
Yeah. Just we'll take
Pick
any number of stars. You know,
yep, from one all the way up.
All the way up to what? Five, yeah.
I'm not limiting our listeners to five, Ryan.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's very
good point.
Small-minded
of you.
If you
want to give us five on iTunes and then tweet at us your extra stars beyond that, that's always.
We think we get paid by the star, and they can be delivered hopefully via reviews on iTunes, but we'll take them on Twitter too.
Yep.
I'm at Scott Chernoff, and then we've got at Ryan Elder Music.
This
and
has been
look,
Snakes, Rats, and
at
Goats.
Manischewitz, at Snakes, Rats. We don't have an at Snakes, Rats, and Goats. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Stay away from that coffee. It'll make your butt go loud.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.